World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I need a warning this morning. I need one of those warnings. This program may not be suitable for, I don't know who I'd put on there. I just want to give you fair warning. It's going to be kind of a content warning. Yeah, throw one of those up there for me. The following video contains material that may be harmful, traumatizing to some audiences. Amen on that one, Spencer. That's a good catch. I'm going to send you a $2 tip. We're going to dig into some stuff here today. It's going to be really, really kind of uncomfortable for all of us to. We have to talk about this stuff though, folks. So I'm just giving you fair warning. Big news last night, and I don't want to get too deep into all this. I don't want to get too deep into all this because I'm going another direction today. Okay, maybe we'll talk about it more yesterday. But I had a bridge that collapsed last night, and I don't know. Did I send you a picture of that, Spencer? If not, maybe you can pull up. There's a video everywhere. A bridge that collapsed last night in Baltimore. And Craig Mickle just told us it was the Francis Scott Key Bridge over Baltimore. Francis Scott Key, of course, being the author of the National Anthem. And if the videos, you'll see on the video, folks, this was not by accident. Clearly wasn't by accident. We'll see a video of it here. When Spence, I was able to pull it up here. 30-second one there, Spencer. If you go back to the top there, brother. Right, to go back at the very top, 30 seconds, right? The moment the bridge collapses. So freeze it just seconds, Spence. So friends, if you look over here to the left, freeze it if you can. There's a cargo ship coming. Cargo ship. Now this is the main entrance. This is the main thoroughfare in the Baltimore area. The main one. And you mean to tell me this guy doesn't know there's a bridge there? How many times has this cargo ship probably passed through under that bridge? Doesn't know it's there? Then notes there. And if you watch her in 36 seconds, he drives right straight into that thing and London Bridge comes tumbling down. Let's watch it here a second. All of it. Just happened this morning. Just happened this morning at 1:28, 1:30 this morning it happened. Yes, there were cars on it. Thank God it was in the middle of the night. Yes, there are cars on it. There is a rescue, whatever they would call, going on. Do you guys ever think about that when you drive over one of those suspension bridges? That, whoa, man, if this thing, remember the old Silver Bridge when it collapsed down in, wasn't Ironton, it was what town was it? Pomeroy, somewhere down through there. Years and years ago, the Silver Bridge came down. Hey, folks, this, I don't know what's going on, but this, as Craig said, is this a sign to America again? Francis Scott Key. America coming down. See, we can read a lot of things into it. Or is it a terrorist attack? What would make this guy, come on now, come on now. Boats just don't drive into bridges. You would think, hey, folks, on this boat, they certainly have, I've never been on a boat. Mark Trump's been on one. Maybe he would help me. They certainly have some type of warning if you're getting ready to run aground or you're going to hit something, right? It's not like he fell asleep. He's just cruising down saying, hey, remember there's a big bridge up ahead. No, come on. Come on. Go back, play that again, Spencer. This guy just drives right. He just drives right straight in. Look at it. He just drives right straight into the bridge. Boom. Wow. It's like, hey, I'm sure they'll get the engineers will explain to us how that happened, just like they did the towers, right? They'll explain exactly how that happened and the malfunction, and it was pilot error and all that stuff, right? Craig's in that area. Craig, I assume this is a major connector there in that Baltimore area. Craig, would that be safe to say?
Yeah, it's not the bridge for 95. It's right next to it. Okay. But here's the deal, Coach. All right. So people don't know the area. So when I said what I said, it doesn't make a lot of sense, except go look at the Baltimore incinerator that sits right close to that.
Yeah, which they tried to close down, right, Craig? They had a big fight over keeping that incinerator open. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And remember about a year or so ago in D.C., this abortion group was sitting there, and they talked to this guy who was picking up the medical waste of the bodies.
Yes. Yep.
Do you know where he was going to take that medical waste to?
No.
Well, go look at the Baltimore incinerator and go look at the Fort Francis Scott Key Bridge. Uh-huh. They take medical waste from abortion clinics from Maryland.
They're going to go burn little aborted babies in the incinerator and spread the ashes over the top of people who live there. Is that what you're telling us, Craig?
Yes, and it takes medical waste from abortion clinics up and down the East Coast and from Canada and burns it in there, and they get electricity for it.
Oh, my goodness. So our electric power comes from aborted babies. They call it medical waste, huh? Medical waste. Folks, I don't want to get bogged down on this. Well, I do, because it does it's kind of unbelievable. Really, huh? Really.
Coach, can I chime in a little bit?
Please do.
So the other significance is, of course, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Our national anthem was written right below that bridge. There's a marker. So Francis Scott Key was on prisoner on board the British ship. I just got done working out, so excuse me. But
I need to do that.
Thing was those ships. It's more than just the captain. Those ships have two pilots on them.
This couldn't just happen, right, Kurt? This just couldn't
happen. Two American pilots. They know those waterways. Yeah. I don't know what to make of that.
Both pilots would have to be asleep. All the sonar, the technology, all that stuff would have to not just be like flying those planes into those towers, wouldn't it?
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
You know, unless God had it done, you know.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, apparently I didn't have time to really look at it. Just before I opened up the show, I got a message from somebody that shows that ship turning away from the bridge abutment and then turning back, and the lights went on and off a couple of times. So that they tried to avoid it, but somebody made it go the other way.
Something's not right here, folks.
Folks. And the pilots, those like whoever was just talking about it, ships have pilots, and those pilots can do that in their sleep.
Yes. Well, it's probably, Jack, they probably have automatic pilot, right, to make sure. I got to believe that there's things.
No.
Well,
no.
Well, the point is.
Hey, Coach.
Not automatic.
Can I chime in? Before you cross the Chesapeake Bay Bridge by Annapolis, you stop and you are paid pilots to take it into Baltimore.
Yeah.
Okay. You just don't come across the ocean and go, oh, where's Baltimore at? You stop at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, and they have paid pilots that do this every day for their living. It's a law.
All right, man. Okay, look, I don't want to get bogged down. I don't want to analyze this because we don't know anything, right? Something's happening here. Dale, go ahead real quickly.
And we have that same thing with Craig is talking on the river, because we have those suspended bridges and barges going up and down. Coach, not only do they have those are designated pilots that traffic through there, wherever there is a suspended bridges, there are always tugs right there for the purpose that if a ship like this, all of a sudden the engine went out, that they are immediately there to guide those things away from that very thing. Brother, that just does not happen.
Okay, so now we need to sit back and watch how they try to explain it all to us, folks. Is it another? Is it a distraction? Whatever it is. Okay, cool. I'm going to connect some dots here for you this morning. All right. Again, I appreciate all of you hanging in with yesterday as I was taping the Brideon show, and I had a real choppy. We had a real choppy time together. I just want to apologize and thank you guys for hanging in with me as we did it. Pull up for me, says Millstone. My wife, I love my wife. My wife is like something. She's something special. And she was getting ready for her own little Bible study she does with the women. And she was asking me, honey, is it in all four gospels? She was talking about specific things. Is it in all four gospels? And I stopped and thought about it. I can't remember exactly what the topic was. And I thought, man, is it in all four gospels? And I didn't know. Anyway, so today I went to what is one of my go-to verses. I went to Luke 2, 17, verse 2. It says, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Offend. Hey, Spence, what's it mean to offend? What does Webster say to offend? Folks, it's going to be uncomfortable where I'm going to take you today. Give you fair warning. Offend is not just to hurt somebody's feelings. It's to attack or to assail. To strike, hit, meet, or thrust against. To displease, to make angry, to affront. To express less than make angry. It expresses rather less than making angry without any modifying words. Anyway, to shock, to wound, to offend. So it's better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to do that to a little kid, to distress a little child. Now, it also pops up in Matthew 18, verse 7. And Jesus says, this is the words of Jesus, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, offend, hey Spencer, what's offend? Go back to that again. Whoever shall what? Shock, wound, cause pain, annoy, injure, displease, make angry, affront, attack, assail. Whosoever shall do that to one of these little ones, that believe in me, public schools, those of you who got your kids in public schools, be better if you millstones hang around your neck and you were thrown into the depth of the sea than to let that happen to a little kid. I'm going someplace today. It's going to be uncomfortable. Just bear with me. It needs to be said. I remember, it's perfectly normal. I'm going to tell you a story here real quick, true story. It doesn't matter. I'm going to change the names to protect the guilty. But I remember vividly, I was at a church I happened to be attending at that time. And these two brothers who I'd known, had moved from out on the West Coast to come to church, at this church specifically, because they'd seen this guy on TV, this pastor on TV. And they said, man, I really like his gumption and all that stuff. And so they came here specifically to attend his church. And when they got here, they found out he was nothing but a cornball softy. He's just a softy. Talked a good game, but I know a lot of those guys, by the way. And they showed me this book, showed it to me. They had it in their hand, and I opened it. This is maybe 15 years ago, 10, at least 15, at least 10, maybe 15 years ago. And they showed me this book. It's perfectly normal. And I wasn't quite awake yet then. I was just coming off my battle with the ACLU. I was just waking up to what was going on. And they were warning me 15 years ago, Coach Dave, can you believe this? And they showed me the book, and I couldn't believe it. But I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I just come out of public schools, right? Public schools are good. They have good football teams, good bands, good choirs. I'd been a public school teacher. Not all schools are like that's what I thought, right? And then I realized they began to open my eyes up to the 6-foot icicle who was building a kingdom rather than God's kingdom. And anyway, that's a whole different story. Can I tell you the truth? Sometimes one of the hardest things I deal with is bitterness that I have towards missed opportunities. If they'd just listened, if they'd just listened. I fight that a lot. That's a besetting sin that I have. I have an anger about it, an anger that this guy should not have allowed. Anyway, I don't know if you guys, you know this book. Remember, it's better for you to put a millstone around your neck, be thrown into the depth of the sea, than to mislead one of these little ones. This is a news report of the book, It's Perfectly Normal, which at that time was the I couldn't believe this was in our libraries. I couldn't believe it. Hey, friends, I'm talking to every one of you today. Is this why those bridges got knocked down? Is this what it's about? Okay, this is a two-minute news clip. Put it at 1.5 speed, if you could for me, Spence. This was a news clip. I think this is 10 years old, about this book that this father found in the libraries. Hang with me. We're going somewhere today. Go ahead.
This book is inappropriate and shouldn't be on school shelves. Today, we want to find out why his daughter was able to check it out from the library. The sexual education book includes some graphic illustrations.
And we sent Lisa Vela to get some answers from the school district. And Lisa, this book also...
Reason. Spencer, scroll down. How long ago was this done? How long ago was it? Tell us how YouTube video was 10 years ago. This YouTube video was 10 years ago when from somebody discovered, by the way, we took the book to that pastor and he did and said nothing. Go ahead.
Coach, please note that on that picture there, it says the book was already 15 years in print at this point as well.
Thank you. The book was already 15. We're talking about infiltration into the educational system, into the minds of children that lead us to transgenderism, homosex, all that stuff, folks. This is a plan of the enemy. Go ahead.
On one of those lists for challenged books or even banned books.
That's right, Jenny. The book is called It's Perfectly Normal. But to some parents, it's not perfectly normal to let their preteen kids read it without parent approval.
I just think it's not right for young kids.
Russ is a concerned parent who doesn't like what he found in a book about sexual health available for checkout at his daughter's Covington Middle School.
What bothers you about the book?
Well, for one, it's got the sexual positions. It tells them how it's pleasuring and teaches them how to masturbate.
The book about kids changing bodies and sex is aimed at ages 10 and up. It's gotten high marks from literary critics, but it gives lots of very detailed information about puberty and sex and shows explicit cartoon-like illustrations of sexual activity.
I found out that the school district does have a policy that lets parents of elementary school students restrict their access to human growth and development books in the school library, but the policy doesn't apply to middle schoolers and high schoolers.
The district says older kids can decide for themselves.
Why is that? At this point, it's the district policy. No one has brought it up as an issue at this point, and so if a parent brought it as a concern and said, we'd like you to look at that, and similar policy to the elementary, that would be something the board of directors could consider.
Hang on a minute. Hey, friends, are you looking at me? If they caught me with an 8-year-old child, 10-year-old child in the park reading this book with them, what would they do to me? What would they do to me? What would you think of me? Yet it's in our schools. By the way, Jeff Klein, way ahead of everybody on this. He went to the school board probably 10 years ago about the books in the libraries, and nobody cares. Go ahead and finish it.
We'll try to get the book removed or monitored closer, but he wants something done.
Now, the Evergreen District says the first place to start is with a school principal if you don't like a book, and a challenge can end up going all the way to the school board. So far, that hasn't happened in the district in 2 years.
Because you know what it is? You become book burners and banning books, and you're wicked, and they ban the Bible, but you can't ban It's Perfectly Normal because it's perfect. Sex is perfectly normal, right? It's perfectly normal. Well, I want to connect the dot for you here, something you probably didn't know. This is all the result. Bring up number 5. This is all the result of a guy named Alfred Kinsey. And I'm going to pat myself on the back again because probably 7-8 years ago, I don't remember when it was. I was asking Michelle this morning, maybe some of you out there remember. We went to the Kinsey Institute, by the way, which is in the University of Indiana in Bloomington. We went and prayer walked and exposed the Kinsey Institute, Alfred C. Kinsey, for what he was, because folks, he is the root of the rotten fruit that we have. He was a pearl. I'm going to show you some of that stuff. That's what I'm saying. You may not want to watch this. You may not want to watch it. Alfred Kinsey was an American biologist. Folks, he's a biology major that changes the entire sexual morals of a nation. Kinsey Report. Kinsey did, right? So Alfred Kinsey, scroll down a little bit, Spence, because I'm going to show you some stuff here that should tick you off, right? Oh, so he was up in 1920. He shows up there. He's assistant professor of zoology. He's a zoologist, right? And for the next 20 years, he studies gall wasps and all stuff like that. By 1937, American men of science listen to him as a starred scientist. And look what happens. All of a sudden, Kinsey transitions to sex research. What? Yeah. He started doing books on marriage and family. And he was so good at teaching people to be perverts that Indiana University has the Kinsey Institute to this day. In 1947, Dr. Kinsey became the founding director of the Institute for Sex Research. A friggin'... What was he? He was an animal zoologist researcher, right? That's not the bottom line of it. So we now know that he is this great. 1947, he became the director of the Institute of Sex Research, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. In 1948, he released it. And Indiana University to this day has the Kinsey Institute on its campus. We went there. Anybody out there go with me? Long time ago. All right. Okay. Hang on. Bring up number six. I'm going to connect some dots for you. Alfred Kinsey and the children of table 34. Can you scroll down a little bit, Spencer? I don't know if you can make this. There's table 34. Stop right there. Judith Reisman wrote a book about Kinsey. She was a Maine, Paul. I don't know if you knew her or not. I had her on my show years and years and years ago. What a sweetheart she was. And she's trying to expose to the world Kinsey was a sexual pervert. And this is one of the things that blew everything open. Spencer, I don't know if you can make that bigger or not. This is chart 34. Is that what it is, number 34? Folks, look at this. This is a chart of Kinsey's research. Five-month-old child had 3 orgasms. 11-month-old had 10 orgasms in 1 hour. 11-month-old had 14 orgasms in 38 minutes. Hey, folks, a child not even a year old, in the laboratory, they measured 14 orgasms in 38 minutes. Now, can somebody explain to me how they did that? Would that be child abuse? Would that be child abuse? And this guy puts it in a friggin' book. A 4-year-old child, 26 orgasms in a 24-hour period. Kinsey, he is studying sexual behavior in the human male. What is this? So Judith Reisman and others understand, golly, this guy's doing, this is child abuse. Child abuse. And to this day, Alfred Kinsey's a hero. Scroll down to the bottom of this, Spencer. Hey, folks, how long are we going to put up with this crap? How long are we going to put up? Going down. This is being put, by the way, put it in the chat. Stop right there. That was what I wanted to do, I think. Wait a minute, scroll down. I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you. Keep going. I think that's the one. Go to the bottom. Let me make sure it's the right video. It's not. Keep going. There's the chart. There's Kinsey. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, now, folks, put this all in the chat for everybody can have it. Let me catch my breath here. America deserves a millstone. You do, and I do. If I knew, and you knew, that they were teaching sexual perversion to young children, is the Lord okay with that? When it says it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to offend one of these little ones, am I part of the offense? Are my tax dollars paying for this? They've thrown Jesus out and brought Kinsey in. Stay with me. Going somewhere. Start this at the 2 minute. Is this the one I want? No, that's not the one I want. Okay, I don't think. Spencer, click on number 6, if you would. And start the video at 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I think maybe it's this video. What a freak he is. It should have been. Do you have number 6, Spence? Okay, buddy, go ahead. Put it at the 2-minute 40-second. And they're going to talk about, yeah, okay, thank you. I'm sorry, bud. They're going to talk about Well, that's just what. Hey, folks, do you understand when this is? Do you understand this is the 50s and the 60s, the sexual revolution and all that stuff? And Alfred Kinsey is at the heart of all this stuff, this pervert at the heart of all this stuff. And he brings this information forward. And the University of Indiana does a school after him to this day. The Kinsey Research Center, still there, by the way, Spencer, they think I'm lying. So Google right now, Kinsey Institute, and see whether or not the University of Indiana is bragging that the Kinsey Institute is there. And this guy was a pervert. There it is. They're proud of it. Oh, yeah, two girls kissing, exploring sexuality, relationships, and well-being at Indiana University. They're proud of it. They're proud of it. All right? For more than 75 years, the Kinsey Institute, go back, I'm sorry, has been the trusted source for scientific knowledge and research on critical issues, sexuality, gender, and reproduction. Yeah, he's molesting newborn babies. Okay, go back to the other video. Told you it's going to make you uncomfortable. Just started at 2 minutes 39 seconds. Think about an America that I grew up in. When I got up in the morning, me and my brothers left home and we ran around town and we did all kinds of crazy things around town. And mom said to us, come home when the street lights come on. Anybody else remember that? Anybody else grow up like that? Weren't worried about being molested and child molesters and weren't teaching us about, no. Hey, come home when the street lights come on, boys. You come home, the street lights come on. Could you do that today? Go ahead and play this. Put it at 1.5 speed, Spence, if you could, real quick. I'm just giving you a taste of this stuff. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Go ahead.
But our hope for the future. Once upon a time, children were free to roam their neighborhoods without worry. Parents could count on the good intentions of neighbors, school officials, and other adults to keep their children safe. But in recent years, parents have had to take special measures to ensure that their children not come to harm. Their fears are not unfounded. Many children have fallen victim to sexual abuse. How do we go from a safe, caring environment for children to one in which parents are terrified that their children are at risk?
Freeze it, Spencer. When was this YouTube video made? Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. Table 34. Remember table 34.
Part of the answer may be found in Indiana.
Hang on. Look, go back there again. Alfred Kinsey could tell you how many orgasms that little child could have. No, I'm sorry, Spencer. Go ahead. Keep going. My fault. He could tell you how many
famous Kinsey Institute. In 1948, a zoologist named Alfred C. Kinsey shocked the world with his pioneering study, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. Although many scientists were critical of Kinsey's methods, the media popularized Kinsey's findings about sex. By 1981, Dr. Judith Riesman uncovered the role of child sexual abuse in the Kinsey studies in a paper presented to the 5th World Congress of Sexology in Jerusalem. She documented Kinsey's reliance on the systematic molestation of more than 300 infants and children from 2 months old to 15 years of age. Graph tables depicting sexual activity in children use identical criteria as those in the tables on adult subjects.
Then I went back and I took a look at the Kinsey report, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. And as I reviewed the tables, it struck me as clear as day. How could they get this data? Where would they get these data? How do they know that a 2-month-old baby did or did not have an orgasm? How did they get a record of 26 orgasms in 24 hours for a 4-year-old? A 4-year-old.
If these experiments took place, they involved acts to which no child could provide consent and for which no parent or guardian could provide consent on behalf of the child. Therefore, we're talking about criminal activity, the criminal sexual abuse of children.
Research scientist Gordon Muir sees broad ramifications from Kinsey's work. According to Dr. Muir, who helped edit and publish Judith Riesman's and Ed Eichel's 1990 book, Kinsey, Sex and Fraud,
children as young as 2 months of age are featured in tables. In some cases, 188 children in one table, and the legend beneath the table says, timed with a second hand or stopwatch. The understanding that we have of childhood sexuality and normal childhood sexual development, as it is believed and taught in academia today, comes from the experimental evidence documented in Kinsey's Male Report, published in 1948, with the child sexuality tables that we have just discussed. It is absolutely astonishing that this is taken as the basis for what we understand to be normal childhood sexual development. And when I try and explain this to colleagues in the type of science that I'm involved in what I call the harder sciences of biology and medicine, statistics, immunology, they frankly do not believe what I'm trying to tell them. And the only way that I can convince them of the truth of this is to go to the library, pull off the shelf one of Alfred Kinsey's books, and show them what in fact is inside. And it is quite shocking.
Based on the Kinsey data, sex researchers formulated a theory of child sexuality that's influenced everything from laws against molestation to how and when sex education is taught. Few professionals would disagree that Dr. Kinsey has been the most influential figure in the study of sex, particularly the concept of child sexuality.
He did not openly promote pedophilia, but he provided the, quote, scientific, unquote, basis for it. He felt the main problem with adult-child sexual relations was hysteria and overreaction on the part of parents and authorities. He believed that young boys needed the help of older people to develop effective sexual techniques, and he recorded that adult sexual contacts with young girls are a source of pleasure to these girls and may lead to better sociosexual development in their later lives. His co-author, Wardell Pomeroy, a prominent sexologist, has written that the Kinsey research uncovered, quote, many beautiful and mutually satisfying relationships between fathers and daughters.
Fathers and daughters!
The sex education book, Boys and Sex, refers to the possibility of, quote, loving sexual relationships, unquote, between children and animals.
Children have been increasingly portrayed sexually in major pornographic magazines.
In our study conducted for the U.S. Justice Department, particularly juvenile justice and delinquency prevention, we came up with some pretty surprising findings on the images of children in Playboy, in Penthouse, and Hustler.
Okay, do me a favor. Put this in the chat. It's well worth watching. Hey, folks, you and I deserve a millstone. That bridge is coming down. We have nothing to plead before the Lord. We have nothing. We have no. We stand without an excuse. This stuff is going on in our public schools today. I'm not done. Go to number. Click on number 8. Click on number 8. Because this has now become a, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my goodness, right there, that one. Click on this one. It's very short, all right? Transgenderism and all that stuff is a direct result of Alfred Kinsey, and it has become an industry. Doctors are making millions of dollars promoting it, brainwashing in our schools. It is always follow the money. 2-minute clip. Go ahead.
You've got a piece out or an interview where you say a handful of billionaires are really in back of this transgender movement. This article, and I want Grace and Mo to put it out everywhere in the chat room. Tell me what you, because this has kind of been my theory of the case, but you're the first one that actually has the knowledge to walk people through it. What do you mean by that, ma'am?
It's actually, it's more than a handful, but it's definitely this whole agenda, the gender industry promoting dissociation from sexed reality as progressive. This is an industry now in opening up our biology for marketing purposes. You know, it goes hand in hand with all different, all the new technologies that are growing exponentially, nanotech, biotech, AI, reproductive technologies. So, you know, people think they're looking at a human rights movement because this is what they've been told.
They've made it a human rights issue.
Over and over again for a decade, which is how long I've been researching this issue. And there's no human rights movement here. There's no ground up grassroots movement for some marginalized population. In fact, the whole it's total hokum. I mean, the whole thing is corporate hokum. There are no transgender people. There are people that have their reproductive technology medically and technologically assaulted, and it doesn't change them. What it's doing is changing society and what we believe.
Boom! It changes society and what we believe. Then now trannies are a minority and deserve minority rights in their own restrooms. And you can go and use kitty litter in the bathroom. And boys are girls and girls and boys. And it's all attempt of the enemy to undermine the children created in the image of God. The seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And there's more money going to this type of crap than there is. Oh, well, one more thing and then I'm going to open it up.
You've got a.
It makes me sick to do it. Pull up number 9. And here's the industry that we come up with. Huh? Getting by the evolution of sexual thinking. Just scroll down to folks. All of it made up. All of it voodoo science. All of it made up. All made up to destroy. Huh? Look here. adults reporting both male and female sexual partners. In 1989, it was 3% of boys who were dinging other boys, girls dinging other girls. Today, it's 9.6%. How could that possibly be? Oh, brainwashing. By the way, look at the small print right under that, Spencer. For those unfamiliar, Alfred Kinsey is the godfather of sex research. Kinsey started all this crap. Indiana University's proud of him. We've all played this game by now. If some famous guy was born, whatever, in the 1980s, you can assure there's something weird. Didn't know I was going to say all that, huh? Given this gracious, great balls of fire. Scroll on down, Spencer. They teach you what's a cat. I mean, it's just unbelievable what we're allowing. We deserve a millstone. We deserve every bridge in America to come tumbling down. London's bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down.
Amen.
Graph shows the Kinsey scale used in research to describe a person's sexual orientation based on one's experiences of response at a given time. The scale typically ranges from O, meaning exclusively heterosexual, to 6, meaning exclusively homosexual. So in other words, whatever you want to do with your dinger, it's perfectly normal. And they're teaching that in your school, in my school. Throwing Jesus out and teaching this pervert, this pedophile Kinsey to your kids and my kid. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Come on in, Joanne.
Thanks for when I was taking my early childhood education, I was introduced to Dr. Sigmund Freud. I didn't know about this, Kinsley. But then I knew he was sexually deviant.
He was a pervert. There was a time, pardon me a second, there was a time, Joanne, where they called it voodoo science. Psychology was voodoo science because it was all made up. This is what I think, and this is I'm hearing these thoughts. All voodoo science. Not not spiritual. Not the devil. Not extra paranormal. No. It wasn't that. No, these people just were born that way. They were born. Boys were born wanting to kiss other boys. And we believe this crap. We now have special rights for these sexual deviants. By the way, Spencer, what's a deviant? Pull a deviant up there, please. What did Mr. Webster say a deviant was? So we have to start using these words again. D-E-V-I-A-N-T. Is maybe not in there? Deviant. No, it isn't. Deviant. Okay, a deviate comes from devil, deviate, divide, to turn or wander from the common, right or wrong. These folks are deviants. They're sexual deviants. See, they've made that word bad. They've made that word bad. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not. If I'm born with only one ear, I'm a deviant. If I'm born with one eye, I'm a deviant. If I'm born with a club foot, I'm a deviant. Why? Because it turns aside or wanders from the common or right way, course of line, either in literal or figurative sense, as to deviate from the common track or path. So if you're a man having sex with men, you're a deviant, dude. You're deviant. And we don't even use these words anymore because they're not loving and not Christian and not caring. And as a result, they're teaching deviancy to your grandchildren. And the church approves of it because it's showing the love of Jesus. Come on in, Craig.
Well, Coach, I've been saying this for a long time. He said education is repetition. I said a generation is 70 years by the biblical standard, okay? And I put in the chat, okay, who was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1953? The very man you're talking about.
He was Man of the Year in 1953.
Yeah, you can go to Wikipedia. I put the link, have Spencer scroll down, and you can see his picture. He was the Man of the Year in 1953. Now, if you take 1953 and you add 70 years, you get to 2020. 23. Do you understand when I wrote the calling to the people? This is from the Lord. This isn't from me. I get no credit. I talked about 70 years of our generations of what we need to repent for.
Yeah.
And Chad Estes, Liberty Mel, Silver, and myself came up with the six things that we as a nation need to repent for over the last 70 years. And I believe you were 70 years when you stood on September 26, 2022 at the Peace Monument in Gettysburg, and we read a calling to the people to begin a season of repentance.
Yep, yep, yep. And
this all ties in.
London's bridge comes falling down right in front of us, and we can't figure out why. Can't figure out why. Craig, you've been all over it, man. Been all over it. Dr. Paul.
Hey, Coach. I'm going to leave this in the chat here. It's a study showing the overlap between autism and gender diversity. You should know that this, when I was a kid, there was no way they could have convinced me to be a girl. I was a crazy son. And
amen.
It's amen. Actually, believe it or not, it's autism that does that. It disassociates them socially so they can be easily malleable to become transgender. It's like 20 times more prevalent for a child who's been overly vaxxed to become autistic and to become transgender. If somebody should read, that's a huge article. It's a huge study, and it's just not getting to the public. It's amazing this stuff doesn't happen.
So, Paul, gender dysphoria, whatever they call that, whether we want to admit it or not, it's a mental disorder, isn't it, Paul? It's a mental disorder.
Well, you know, it's also physical because the vaccines with all the toxins.
But I got you.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, you were a kid. Man, I couldn't wait to get out and kiss my first girl when I was, you know, scared as hell. Now they can convince a kid 10 years old to cut his wiener off? What the hell?
Sorry. That's right, dude. Oh, my goodness. Paul Webb, come on in. Hey, Spencer, hang on a second, Paul. Spencer, I just sent you a standalone email. Get that thing ready, okay? Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, Coach. I accidentally hit the hand button.
Good to hear from you,
brother. I wasn't intentional.
That's good all right, here buddy. Too. Thanks for being there, buddy.
Great show, by the way.
Thanks, bud. Johnny B.
Yeah, back in 73, when I was 11 years old, there was a hit song on the radio by a guy named Lou Reed, Take a Walk on the Wild Side, about transgenderism.
Is that what – I remember that song. Was that what it was about, Johnny?
Yeah, they said he was a she and something like that.
Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Wow. Maybe Spencer can dig that up for it. It's perverted, right? See, folks, do you understand this? Do you understand that the church has accepted all of this deviant stuff because it's only the love gospel, just the love gospel? Jack, I'll be right with you a second. Hang on a second. So what I have right now, Pastor Todd Henry just sent me this. He's listening to the show. He says, Coach, this is unbelievable. I'm listening to the show. I fired up my computer. And look, he took shots of the stuff that popped up on his feed this morning as he's scrolling. Look at this. Yeah, I'm abrosexual. Took me 30 years to realize. Go to the next one. So, I'm not even going to read them all, right? Just go to the next one, Spence. What it means to be polysexual. Next one. So, what it means to be phrasexual. Everything you need to know. What's fry? I don't know what phrasexual is. Amid book bans, DE cuts don't say gay laws. Next one. It's everywhere you look. I'm pansexual. And here's what I want you to know. This is in Todd's news feed. 5 myths about bisexuality debunked by a relationship expert. Now, Kinsey was an expert too. Understanding omnisexual attraction. Folks, this is from the pit of hell. Pansexual and bisexual. Understanding the spec. Hey. Think young kids are looking, scrolling on their mommy and daddy's tablet? Your gender identity can change over time. And yes, that's totally normal. But if you say anything about you're a book banner, what does it mean to be trans masculine? Todd, thanks for sending me this stuff. This is crazy. 15 of the safest deviant perverts friendly cities in the United States. We have cities that are they're sexual deviant friendly. There's no other way to say it. But see, we've made that a bad word, right? Deviant. Deviant's a bad word. By the way, I won't go there. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, Coach, this is excellent. Please keep connecting the dots. There are so many connections here that we could do this for a month. When you expand the spectrum, that they call it, to include all these diagnoses, that's all part of the welfare system. So they bring these kids in, they all encourage them, they influence them to be part of the spectrum, so they get a diagnosis, so they get support and money, and then they use them in their agenda, and they make them all transgenders.
It's even worse than that, Jack. It's even worse than that. I go into Thomas Worthington High School, Worthington Kilbourne High School. Every kid in that class thinks that's normal.
That's right. My daughter says she's polymorphous. What the heck is that?
Yeah, what is that? Oh my God! God help us! God help us! Hey, if they'd have hung a homosexual banner in the school, they'd have drugged the teacher out in handcuffs. Rochelle.
Hey, thank you, Coach. Good morning, team. So I looked up how common is child sexual abuse. I just wanted to get some current numbers. And it says up to 31% of girls and 18% of boys may be sexually abused. I'm not going to go through all the ages.
That's so easy to believe, isn't it, Rochelle? That's so easy to believe.
Listen, 3 out of 10 girls have been sexually abused as a child, as an adult who was abused as a child. That I'm flabbergasted that 1 in 3 women have been abused.
Yeah. I bet it's higher.
It may be higher. And listen, this is so in the news right now. All of this stuff for years, it's been in the news. And every time one of these stories is talked about, every single time, it takes us as victims back. This is ongoing abuse because nothing has ever been done. It's absurd. I can remember learning about the Freud and this other man you were talking about when I was in college. I wanted to be a teacher. This was one of the things that made me quit. This was so disgusting. Like, my brain could not even believe what you would have to do to get that information. I actually thought it was fake. You know, brain goes into protective mode and thinks, okay, this can't even be real. This is just fake. It's absurd. This is still going on.
So Rochelle, they lock up young men for looking at child pornography and they're teaching it in the schools.
What are these young men to do? You are grooming them to be pedophiles or
to be
other people.
That's exactly right. Right. We ought to be arresting principals and school boards. We're arresting the wrong people, folks. They serve up sex to you. And then when you act on the urge that they set you up on, then they arrest you and throw you in jail, call you a pervert. Right. When it's the perversion, they're pushing.
And these librarians who are the gatekeepers of these books, who are now directing our children to take these books home and look at them.
Rochelle, you're a book burner.
Don't show your parents.
You're a book burner, Rochelle. You're a book burner.
You're right. I would burn those books. I absolutely would burn those books.
Well, they take everything that is moral and right, and they make it some type of racism, sexism, bigotry. Anything moral and right is now become bigotry. Dale.
Amen, Coach. I just want to kind of piggyback off what Jack said. Connecting the dots, Coach. Do you remember when you were a kid? You remember those pictures they give you and it had all the numbers? And you, as you connected the dots, what happened, Coach? The picture began to reveal itself, Coach. Yeah. Spiritually speaking, brother, this thing is being revealed. You know, I told Bob and I told Craig, I said, what we need to do is have another keychain. Yes, I love the foot
you know, that footprint keychain. But I think when we go out to these deviant, perverted parades and things, we need another keychain made to hand out to those, because they'll take them. Oh, look, yeah, a keychain, and have it as millstones, little millstones, right, to hand out to these people, to give to these people at these, at these deviant things, to let them know better, right? But get a millstone, Coach, and begin, yeah, to hand those keychains out, baby. Hey,
you're giving Bob Evans some thoughts there, right? Gives it. Hey, folks, the church accepts it. Now, look. Am I going to be held liable by Almighty God because I refuse to stand up and speak the truth?
Absolutely. We are, Coach.
Love. It's not love. It's perversion. Clay.
Well, back in the day, like you say, all the movies that we used to watch, if there was somebody that was transgendered or gay or something, they were the oddballs, and they were identified as being oddballs.
And they still are oddballs. That's oddballs. Right.
But see, Pirates of the Caribbean movies, they're probably like 20 or 25 years old. They had some of those cross-dressing pirates in them movies, but they were still the oddballs.
Because they had an agenda. No, Clay, they weren't oddballs. They had an agenda to normalize those.
That's what they've done. I just watched a true story there's a movie the other night about the Afghanistan war, and there are troops who's over there, and it's got men dancing around in the camp together, slow dancing around in the background of a true story about our soldiers in the Afghanistan war. And so now what they're doing is they're telling us that if you don't feel attracted to the opposite sex, that you are we're the oddballs. And we got something broke.
So Clay, let me take you somewhere. I graduated from high school in 1971. I had a pretty tight circle of friends, maybe 10, 15 people kind of ran in our crew. Eric Peterson, God bless Eric Peterson, was the only one who didn't have an intact family. 1971. Everybody had a mommy and a daddy. Everybody did. Now you get married, you get divorced, you get married, you get divorced, you shack up, you don't, it don't mean nothing. Why? Because they have poisoned us. They've poisoned us. And they've told us we're the queers. We're the deviants. We're the bad guys because we want to stand for what's true, noble, and right. Jeff Klein.
Coach, what have you always taught little David? What's that saying? What's he always say?
Men protect women?
Yep. So 12 years ago, 600 people at that school board meeting, nobody wanted to hear about them books. 600 people. Back in 12 years ago, we thought, that's amazing, 600 people there. So now here we are, still doing school board meetings.
Well, Jeff, by the way, you stood up and read the book, and your pastor told you you shouldn't have done that. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, How to Have Anal Sex. In front of all them people, oh, they just lost it. So yesterday I had this opportunity. I'm going in Speedway gas station right across from the car lot. And it's just, if you listen to these little kids, you'll hear stuff. Three little girls, about 10-year-olds, stand outside at Speedway, right in front of the doors. They're just going on. I heard one girl said, she's a Karen. She's nothing but a Karen. These girls are 10. I just stood there and I couldn't go walk away. I just stood there and listened for a minute. And the one girl, two of the girls were pretty quiet. The one was just lippy about this Karen. I said, girls, I said, what's this nonsense about a Karen? And they looked at me like they're shocked I'd even say something to them. And the one girl said, oh, this girl's mean. Yeah. I said, listen, you might know a Karen that's really nice, but you're calling this other girl Karens. I said, can I tell you girls something? That school is trying to divide you girls, make you hate each other. I said, have you seen all the hate going on around you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they start in. And then one girl looks at me and she says, I'm loving, girl. I'm caring. I'm nice. I said, good, young lady. That's good. So I'm having this conversation, and people are everywhere at Speedway. The one little chunky girl that said she's nice, she come walking over towards me, and she wanted to hug me. Now I'm like, oh, no. Do I hug this little girl? So I did. I give her a little hug. I said, young lady, you are very nice. And the other girls looked at me and said, yes, yeah, she is. I said, now, all of you, just be nice. Quit calling other girls Karens. Don't believe what that school's lying to you about all this crap. I walk in the store. There's a woman and a man
at the cash register. I start talking about what just happened out there. And here it was the mom of one of the girls. So she's telling me how this girl's this and this and that. And I told her what I said to him. I said, I'll be honest with you. I was a little leery of hugging that little girl. It was her daughter. She said, oh, she's so loving and she just wants to hug everybody. I said, well, I did. I said, but, you know, I said, and I talked to her about what the school's doing. And then the other guy standing there, he started getting mad. He started cussing. I said, well, we need more men to start going in them school board meetings. And I told him briefly what we had been doing. And he was irate. Then we all just walked out of there. But I could have just walked away and not said a word. But
Jeff, here's a question. Not to you, Jeff. To everybody else. Is your pastor saying anything at all about it? Your pastor talking about any of this at all? Is your pastor warning the people of what's going on in the public schools and the transgenderism they're teaching the kids and the poisoning of the minds, and that it'd be better for a millstone to be put around their neck, be thrown into the deepest part of Buckeye Lake than to continue to do that? Are we hearing this from our pulpits? Mm-hmm. I saw it firsthand 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when those guys showed me the book, they showed it to the pastor, and he never mentioned it 15 years ago. Craig.
Coach, it's not the government that's looking for the pedophiles that are watching films on the internet abusing our children. You're a little bit behind the times. I put in the chat, the government's requested from Google the names, addresses, phone numbers, and activities of account users who've watched certain YouTube videos between January 1 and January 8, 2023. People who watch these videos without logging in are also not safe, as the government also requested their IP addresses.
People who've watched J6 stuff. Is that what it is, Craig?
Well, that's right. And the government has no leads into asking that information, because they can get your name and say, oh, well, they don't even have a criminal thing to insert your name. But if they can find it now and then they come across other things, well, that's discovery. Okay. So they're they're fishing.
Thank God for 911 and the Patriot Act. Oh, thank you. Those Muslims, boy, that put a stop to those Muslims, didn't it?
If they were only as diligent about the pedophiles in our country,
they're making too much
going after their YouTube videos and what they're watching.
Hey, Craig, church don't care. Church don't care. Come on in, Jock, although I know you ain't Jock. Come on in, Jock.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Yes, heaven forbid we bring it up and talk about it at church.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to affect that collection plate.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, our priorities are completely messed up.
Yep. Is it okay, Jock? Is it okay for you to spend your tax dollars to make your neighbor's kid a pervert? Is that okay? You think the Lord's okay with that? Oh, yeah, I'll keep funding that. Let me keep funding that, and I'll turn all my neighbors' kids into trannies. Yeah, that's a ticket. That'd be good. Lauren.
I just want to know, with that study, Dr. Paul, do they also have a bullying aspect that's attached to that? Because kids on the autism spectrum are bullied so intensely bad that they want to actually flip genders to change identities because they just want the bullying to stop. So it's a different form of suicide.
Yeah.
And with this thing with the pastors, they're not shepherds. The Lord showed me pastors are not shepherds. They're supposed to be one and the same, and they're not. All they are is people that are filling out a W-2 so that they can get paid. And it's all it is a paycheck from the government.
They're immediately boss. Nobody can question them, right? He's the pastor. But, he's right next to the
pope. And nobody wants to. There's no shepherds anymore. There's nobody willing to feed the sheep. They're giving them AstroTurf instead
of. That's our job. It's our job if the pastor's not doing it. Kevin.
So, Coach, in 2004, they released a blockbuster film called Kinsey. Let's Talk About Sex.
Yeah.
Starred Liam Neeson. It earned almost $17 million at the box office.
Good.
And it was billed as a drama and a romance. Isn't that nice?
Here's what I know, folks. We better hope it's under the blood. We better hope our silence and promotion of the gay agenda, we better hope it's under the blood. We're funding it. Our fingers, our blood's all over it. See you tomorrow.